Welcome to the Elemental Awakening. Welcome, everyone. I'm Gio. Another episode of the Elemental Awakening. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Kyle Cease. I met him in Costa Rica at a place called Rhythmia, where we ended up sitting beside each other through an ayahuasca ceremony. And we became friends, which most likely happens in an ayahuasca ceremony, unless you don't puke on someone. But I love this guy because he's funny and he's sincere and he's changing people's lives. He's the best-selling author of a book called The Illusion of Money. And it's really coincidentally funny that someone told me about that book, and I actually bought it the week before I traveled to Rhythmia. And as I was reading on the plane thinking, I think, you know, it'd be cool to meet Kyle one day. And as I get there, I walk into Roots and he's sitting there beside another guy. And I'm like, is that actually Kyle sitting there? And we became friends. So Kyle, welcome to the show. For the impromptu sort of winging introduction, but that's how we met.
That's a great intro. Basically what we're saying is if you get my book, you'll meet me the next week.
Absolutely. Manifestation, right. Like instantaneous manifestation. Yeah. So I love the book. I want to talk a bit about it today. But just tell us a bit about you, how you got into what you're doing, a bit of the background to who is Kyle Cease as an actor, comedian. You do so many cool things. Tell me story gets you to today.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell, you know, what calls to me is I'll tell you a teeny bit of it. But what so calls to me too, along with that, is what's here now, because I know all of us in 2020 are in this place of doing the most inner spiritual work while the external is stopping us from feeling free and it's forcing our internal. So I'll combine a little of that with that, but really long story, really shortened. I was a stand-up comic starting at 12 years old. I toured in all of my 20s. I had two Comedy Central specials. I did over 1,000 colleges. I did a lot of different like small parts in TV and film, movies like 10 Things I Hate About You, Not Another Teen Movie. Had an insane career in the entertainment industry and ended up going through a first shift from that to achiever. Like at first I went from like this kind of, you know, aspect of being a comedian and then going into the Tony Robbins motivation type stage. And then going through a situation where I was put into a flow stage, meaning like at first I learned how to achieve everything I wanted. And then I learned how to do something much bigger, which is let go of control. And that happened when I realized the big lie in life is when something happens, I'll be happy. Like every person watching this right now probably is thinking constantly, when something happens, I'll be happy. When the lockdowns are over, I'll be happy. When for some people, when I get my job back, when I get enough money, we live in the past and future. And I'd love to talk about why it's so dangerous. And I'm starting to play with the idea that the worst addiction we have is hope. Because with hope, you stay in mediocre circumstances and just think that it will get good. You could be in a shit relationship and just have hope that one day this person will get it, or be in a job you don't like and I'll get the promotion. And it's a way that you can't acknowledge what's really true in front of you right now, which is this is not a match for my soul. And so I think I started studying the idea that I had believed when something happened, I'll be happy. And then I got to have almost everything I wanted. You know, I got to have two Comedy Central specials and achieve movie roles. And right when I got it, really my mind was just like, what's next? Higher addiction and more of a fear that I'll lose it. So a huge shift in my life was the release of control by understanding nothing's bigger than me in the moment, the me that's here right now. To think that that audition will make me implies I'm not enough. To think that $1 million would make me something implies that I'm not enough. And so the shift went from when something happens to I'll be happy to when I'm happy, things will happen. And I left the world of motivation and just started letting go of the things in my life that felt out of alignment and that felt heavy. So instead of me trying to make things happen and achieve things, I would be like, what would happen if I was off Facebook for a year? What would happen if I wasn't dating for a while? What would have these kind of patterned addictions that when I didn't have them, released my own inner entanglement with my past and was replaced by synchronicity, magic, God, and just understanding that everything's perfect. And it started this insane inner ascension. Like where I just believe we're like hot air balloons that are always trying to go up, and then you're just stuck on, you know, YouTube or, you know, someone's opinion of you from the past or whatever, and that's your way of keeping your attachment to the ground so that the balloon can't ascend, right? And so the big shift for me was at first making things happen, achieving everything I wanted, and then realizing none of that makes me. And the shift is leaving when something happens, I'll be happy, and moving into when I'm happy, things will happen. And then now I'm really starting to explore oneness. I'm really starting to discover non-duality. I'm starting to discover that there is no real separate Kyle. The other day I was just thinking about what's willpower? This thing that comes up in us, this idea of motivation. And I really realized it's our avoidance of trauma in our body. Like every time you're gonna make something happen, it's mainly because you're horrified that you won't be enough. Like if you don't make enough money, there's one level where you're scared to not make money, but there's really another level where you tie, my dad says you're only worthy if you have money, or, you know, my mom says we'll never have enough money, whatever. These patterns are existing in our body. And what 2020 is to me is this opportunity to speed up your awareness of the patterns in a way that 2020 just gave us maybe 50 years of in the old days work in 1 year. It's just you're going to be really looking at yourself. You're going to be looking at your patterns. You're going to be crying out everything that's not you. You're going to heal yourself. You're going to learn intense forgiveness. You're going to let go of the things that don't align. You're forced into finding yourself. And so, you know, I don't know, if you're looking at the media, you're going to be scared of 2021. But if you're looking in your heart, you're going to feel free in 2021. And what I feel is really interesting is that in 2018 and 2019, some of us had our circumstances just good enough to not really know ourselves. You had just enough money coming in, or just a mediocre job enough, or a relationship that just got the job done, and you didn't have any reason to really look at yourself. So we could have coasted into mediocrity. And 2020 really said, no, I want you to look at what's not you. I want you to purge what's not you. I'm not going to let you get away with not purging what's not you. I'm going to, you know, make you really see what's important. I'm going to show you massive achievement isn't the answer to everything. I'm going to show you how the whole world freaking mirrors you. And, you know, I'm just in this place with a big open heart and feelings of a wound in it that are being seen and loved and then cried out each night on a higher level. And feeling very grateful for 2020 and what it's, that there's no way out. I can't negotiate this.
You got to sort of be present. Like, this is the ceremony. It's like, yeah, you know, there is no way out. And I love that sort of analogy, that whole analogy. Yeah, it definitely is a year where most people are forced to do work. I find a lot of people who never did any work are now questioning things about themselves, about their role, about what the purpose of all of this is. And, you know, it's an interesting time to be alive, to be, you know, in this space and, you know, the type of work we do. It's like, at the same time, we want to help everyone, but also being okay to be vulnerable, like, you know, because we're going through it too. Like, we're all feeling it. There is no like, hey, you've been doing the work for years, you should be ready for this. Like, no, I'm feeling it. If yeah. not at a deeper level, I'm hurting even more, you know, because I feel like, you know, like, yeah, I thought I did a lot of work. I'm still like facing a lot of this collective sort of pain. Like I was mentioning earlier in the recent ayahuasca ceremony I did at Arrhythmia, I was like, so much stuff came up, like hours of like this deep fear, which, you know, I sort of related to, you know, feeling scared and unsafe and not free and what that meant and, you know, establishing boundaries in my life. And so it's like, yeah, now I need to sort of take that into here and sort of find my power again, right? And
what's amazing is one of the things you pointed out was you said some of us want to help a lot of people. And one of the things I've discovered is that's a pattern. Like this kind of being there for everybody as a way to not quite meet yourself. Like some of us are, you know, we're all certain ways, natural givers. And then there's some people that are giving out of a please don't leave me, please see me, please become a follower, like add to my list kind of energy. And a lot of empaths who are realizing they were secret people pleasers, which means they can only attract takers, are in this position of being there for all these people and finding that that's not sustainable anymore. And so like some of us, like if you realize this entire thing was your dream, like a literal dream, like you're asleep, you'd realize the craziness of trying to save everyone in the dream, because in a real dream, when you're asleep, you've created those people. The real goal is to wake up. And
I love that.
Right. And when you wake up, you start to see you were creating this. And I'm starting to get glimpses of proof of that. You know, I'm starting to go, wow, whenever I release a specific thing, I suddenly notice the whole world is in that same place. Like the amount of people that show up in my life that just purged the thing that I purged an hour ago, that was like the first time I ever even discovered that.
Yeah.
Is blowing my mind, you know?
Yeah. And super interesting. Yeah.
Super interesting. And
keep going.
No, I just think that I noticed there's a voice in people that are like, I gotta get my voice out. I gotta, you know, this kind of,
yeah.
I've been getting all these mentors and coaches and they're telling me all these strategies that I gotta get my voice out. Dude, this is the time to get your voice in. This is the time to listen. Like, stop getting your voice out. That's just your ego halfway through. Like, we can still get our voice out, but we gotta be spending more time getting it in, because right now we cannot grab on to the physical reality as truth unless we want to go down with it. The third density world is what we're grabbing. When we're grabbing on the news, when you're grabbing on the gossip, when you're grabbing on the fears of what's coming, dude, we're not ever bringing in the fourth density of the fact that half of the planet sees that's coming and there's an awakening happening that's moving exponentially faster. And we need to free ourselves from our final addiction to what's coming, to what's going on, because I believe you can ascend to a world where it's not reachable. And for people that are moving into that higher density are purging their addiction to the third density selves, and things in the third density will not be able to reach you if you keep going. Mm-hmm. You allow yourself bring compassion to the you that all of this is triggering. Right? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So like, do you think there's going to be an actual literal like split in reality with these different dimensions? Or you think just things are not going to look the same and feel the same as you evolve, or like an alternate reality? Like, how would you sort of describe it? You know, when you talk about shifting, yeah. And I hear a lot of people shifting from the third to fourth to fifth.
I
love getting different perspectives on what, yeah. You know, how would you describe it?
Yeah. Yes, I completely believe that's reality now. I actually, it sounds corny. I used to be like, that's so airy-fairy, third density and fourth density. But let's really think about this. I mean, you are someone I met, we were doing ayahuasca. We, you know, there are people on this planet, anyone who's listening to this is interested in a higher self. Now, there are some people that we know that are probably like the people listening to this are dating, who think this is bullshit and craziness and airy-fairy stuff, right? They all are dating some dude named Travis. It's like, this is stupid. Like, I don't even get this. I'm realistic, you know, that guy. So like, there's people that are interested in their soul's growth. And then I believe what's happening right now, a way to see it, is the universe is purging all of our past, right? Our past story, our past identification, your victim story, your achiever story, like it's shining a light on it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in the constant addictive phase to keep that from being seen, and you're like, don't want to look at that part of you, then really just your trauma and your past and your prevention of trauma again is what's running the show. So as it's trying to get rid of your past, you might go down with it. You could get more addicted and more just living on YouTube or getting drunk or doing drugs or, you know, getting complacent and just, you know, but there's some of us that go, that are so aware now that we notice addictions quicker. We feel so unfulfilled. Like, how many times can you go on Facebook a day and realize it's not doing it for you? How many times can you, mm-hmm. whatever, overeat or get drunk? And our awareness is starting to go, instead of me going down with the past, I'm going to become the present and let my past get purged. I'm going to like open my heart and let the universe reach in and pull the story out that says I was abandoned when I was five. Or, you know, the more present you get, the more your circle expands to a place to be there for the past trauma that exists in your body. So if you expand your consciousness, you can become a portal to transcend the triggers and the addictions and the pain from your past. And if you do that, you lose addictions, because most addictions are your way of preventing yourself from seeing these things. So imagine density as literal density, like that in third density, you have this thickness of unseen trauma, judgment, past in your body. Right. And so we're walking around and it's stored in the cells. That day that your dad yelled at you and you didn't know how to handle it when you were a little kid, that moment when, you know, whatever, someone hit you, you're abandoned, you, whatever happened to you, you have that in your body. And when we become aware of the things outside of us right now are triggering those things, our job is to go in and see. Because we're all triggered by different things. So if we're all triggered by different things, then the factor is not the thing. It's us. Like some people see the lockdown as the greatest thing in the world. I have one client who said, I asked him how he felt. And he goes, I just want to move out of this state and go to this state. And I said, I'm asking you how you feel. And he said, I want to move. And I said, that's not how you feel. That's a reaction to how you feel. He didn't even know he had a feeling about it. And finally, he said, I feel trapped. And I had him just sit with it. And it turned out in his childhood, he always felt trapped. It turned out his whole life, he felt trapped. So he would achieve his way out of it, right? And have millions of dollars come in and all these clients so that he didn't have to feel trapped. It's almost like his achievement was his escape from the trap that existed in his body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what happens when the whole country that he lives in is on lockdown? What happens when you have a trap in your body that you never were able to see because you could keep achieving a bunch of shit. And now you're forced to see it. So I had him be present with it. I had him love it. He ended up literally puking on the call with me. He ended up actually physically throwing up.
And you're a shaman, man. You made him purge it right out.
I just said, let's be present moment with it. And he had to let the trap just exist in his body. And now check this out. If you feel trapped in your body, doesn't that mean you're not looking at life through you? You're looking at it through an avatar of you that exists inside of the trap. So you think you're a small story. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Inside of a trap. But the truth is the trap is in you, right? The trap's inside of him. It's not around him. So he thought he was this little guy up until now who's trying to escape a trap. But the trap's inside of him. And if he understands that, the trap leaves, right? Mm-hmm. So you get this present moment, you get this release, you get this cry. So I believe that throughout this year, I would imagine that meditation has gone through the roof this year. I would imagine that massive purging, identifying what you're not, leaving the relationships that feel stagnant, letting go of the jobs that aren't you, and having nothing to lose, so you find a new driver, you start to live in the forest a little more frequently, or you're just resting more and talking to God more. This is almost purging out these old patterns that were stuck in our body until this year. And imagine that the collective water level is rising. Imagine that the conscious, like every time you cry out some story that felt unloved by your dad or something, that the water level rises. So it gets easier and easier for the collective to purge it. And I believe in December 2020, it feels just so open. Like I'm just crying all the time. Mm-hmm. And quantum physics shows that when one person's meditating, it's slightly affecting the people next door, right?
Oh yeah. And then when a lot of people meditate, they've seen like crazy statistical anomalies where they can actually shift things. And
so are we, focus on. So are we ascending together to a frequency where fear can't control us anymore?
Well, that's a good question, because I think about that a lot where, you know, like I believe that the earth is in, I guess, a phase of raising its vibration collectively, maybe the universe, maybe the whole solar system is moving into a different part of the universe, like a higher vibration. And the beings or people that operate a lower frequency don't want to go there. And how do you artificially keep energy low or the vibration low? Fear. And, you know, pumping fear and creating fear. And like, and I feel now there's like these two opposite pressures where there's something inside that's pushing us to raise. There's this mental mind fear that's like opposite, like pushing against, like two magnets pushing against each other. And it's really, like you said, like 50 years, 100 years of this work, it's all coming up now. It's okay, like you're gonna have to choose a direction now, you know. Yeah. It's one or the other. And I think ultimately most people are being pulled to raise their vibration, but to go higher, you got to shed all of that lower energy. And it feels like it's coming up to the surface. It feels like it's getting worse. It feels like we have to go through it to get there. And same as like the ayahuasca experiences. When you have the best experiences, you got to go through a lot of shit first. The darkness, the death, the fear. And when you have the courage to go through it and see what's there, you come out the other side. It's like, whoa, you know, like, wait a minute.
Well, imagine all the things that we're attached to were our way of avoiding a trauma. So in a relationship, you know, you shouldn't be in, right? If you, why would you stay in it, right? There's no reason other than this, my needing to be seen by this person or my wanting to be understood or my keeping this person prevents whatever no longer serves me in my body from coming up. They're an unconscious addiction, mm-hmm. right? So if this person's gone, I'm suddenly left with my trauma directly, right? So we are being, like, the reason we're still grabbing people that don't feel like they hold us is because we're just scared of what's on the other side of it.
Yeah.
But if we allow ourselves to just go, this is going to be scary, but I'm letting go of this person. Like this year I've let go of, lost or released maybe 20 of the closest people in my life and found massive pain and fear and total freedom in it. Just going, okay, like, it's okay. Like, I have so much love for those people, but we're not all compatible in that way.
I think like that's also similar to the changing of vibrations. Like I noticed too, like growing up, you have a certain set of friends that operate a certain vibration. That's why you're attracted, maybe in high school, after high school, party, whatever. And you create bonds, and the bonds will always be there in a certain way. But as you continue to evolve in a different direction, your vibration starts changing again. It's no longer as compatible with the group. And I remember once saying, like, I wanted to attract more open-minded, not like-minded, like open-minded rather than like-minded, because like-minded, I think the same as you. Open-minded, you can sort of learn and grow with. And, you know, not too long after that, I started noticing these other relationships are just falling off, like left, right, and center, either, you know, maybe just falling off, not necessarily an argument or anything. And then I was like, shit, I'm losing all these friends. And I had this insight. It was like, well, your intention was to create these different type of more in-depth relationships that would sort of allow you to evolve mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And then I started looking around. I was like, I did attract all these people. I was making space where, like, hey, like, this is no longer, but now these are actually here. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, like, that's okay that these other relationships have faded or fell off. Maybe they'll come back, maybe they won't. But it was all like evenly balanced and like this evolution of who I was and how I perceived it. So it didn't hurt that much anymore. And I was like, okay, like, this is how it works. And there's no need to attach to these old relationships that really don't serve me. Like, how many times can you watch football, drink beers, and, you know, like, smoke weed every Sunday for 10 years? It's like, shit, okay, eventually it's like, I don't need this anymore.
Did you know, as you say that, you wouldn't think this would be the case when we're all in our houses, but did you know that sports watching went down 70% this year?
Wow, I believe it. I mean, you think it'd be more. You think it'd go up like 70%.
Yeah. So, but you know what is going up? You can literally see it on YouTube. Spiritual speakers' views, like massive meditation, like you're watching, like I watch Rupert Spira's go up about 1,000 a day on YouTube right now, you know, and you're just seeing this thing. But imagine that you had a fake vest that was a magnet to the people that don't serve you anymore, right? And imagine, like, there's a magnet energy. And when those people are finally gone, you are left with the vest and you see it and it comes off. And imagine when it comes off, you discover that on the other side of that vest was a you that naturally would magnetize vibrational matches to the higher you or to the true self. And imagine that you couldn't get to those people because you kept the vest on that magnetized the people that didn't serve you. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have a patterning that has this magnet that says, okay, I'm supposed to be friends with this person and this person and this person. And you like keep some people pleaser alive that never wants to disappoint them and is trying to do whatever you can to keep this shit up. But you can feel you're scared to lose them because that's their vibration. They're going to leave and they don't give a shit or whatever. And you're like, okay. I believe there's two reasons we have something in our life. Only two reasons. One is because you want it. And the other is because you're scared to lose it. And you very rarely have both except for your kids. Like, so check that out. There are things that expand me. Being a dad, my job, I'm not sitting here worried that I'll lose my job. I love it. Things that you don't love, you're worried of losing, like a relationship that sucks, right? Like you're like, I don't want this to fall apart, but there's no part of you fulfilled in it. So you're only in the don't leave me vibration, but you don't notice there's no joy in it, but there's never both. You get what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And so when you finally let go of all the things you're scared to lose, the only thing that's left is this ascended you that only can bring into your life only what adds to your life, not something that you're scared to lose in your life.
Yeah, I think it was in your book or maybe a video, but I think it was around relationships. And you said something along the lines of, for you to really be in a relationship, first you have to be really okay with just having nothing, no relationship, being alone. Was that you that said that? Was that in your book, something along those lines?
Probably.
Like you have to be totally okay with like having nothing or being alone before you can be ready to sort of actually be in a relationship. Maybe was it was your
in
book.
The illusion of mind?
I think it could have been. Yeah, I think so. So, go ahead.
The concept is that the belief that we have, first of all, we have a belief that something like money will add to our life. And so we actually trick ourselves into thinking that we want more and more and more of it. But we forget that what brought money in the first place was you. You're the source of every dollar that you brought in. So if you get excited about you and actually get to a place where you feel you don't need money, you don't need a thing, and you actually like yourself, you actually create space for higher levels of abundance because your abundance is in you. In declaring money completes me, in declaring I can't be broke, in declaring these things, you end up actually declaring you're not enough repeatedly. You're declaring that it's not a part of you. You're declaring that it's separate from you, right? So if you comprehend that your ability to connect with yourself is the exact match to how much abundance in all ways can come into your life. There are billion-dollar ideas that are trying to hit your head, but you're attached to, please don't go broke. You can't hear it, right? So it's that way with everything, with money, with relationships, with friendships. Mm-hmm. Get to a place where you really are fine with yourself without those things, for real. Not that you're fine without them so you can get them. But, you know, that it's really fine if you don't have it. That's where all your power is.
Wow, yeah, that makes so much sense.
And by the way, that happens when your trauma, I'm talking so much. That happens.
I love it. Yeah, keep going. It's good stuff.
When the trauma of your past self falls off, right? Then you're left with that abundance. In other words, I believe you're all that is. You're everything here right now. And our little traumas that are still stuck in our body cause us to believe the illusion that we're separate. And so that belief in separation is what creates the illusion of lack and the declaration frequently that you're not enough unless you have more. And so you're really just declaring you're not enough. But if you can allow the things that no longer serve you to fall off, which all 2020 is about, is that, you will discover an inner peace, a higher connection to oneness. You don't have to live in the future getting ready to achieve something. You're here. And then life just goes, what's the magnetic match to that? Right? And that has to happen, right? The last part was a nothing addition.
So I got a question. I'm going to track way back to the first thing you said. And something came up that I wanted to ask you. So you said a beautiful thing about when I do this, I'll be happy. Something like that, right? When I get this, I'll be happy. Right. To shift to like, when I'm happy, then I'll get that.
Happy, I mean okay with all of yourself. Like okay with your sadness, not just big fake smile. I mean like...
Yeah, so like I was just going to want you to define that, what you meant by when I'm be happy. So okay, well, that sounds better. I want the happy. How do I do that? How do I shift from here to happy?
Sometimes I do this with people on their podcasts. I did this with Lewis Howes. I don't know if you want, but I could show you with you if you want. and no pressure, and it's fine. But like,
yeah, I love it. Sure.
If there's a, basically what I'm discovering with, you know, I do tons of one-on-ones, and when I work with people, I notice a pattern, and the pattern with every human being is a judgment about something in their body, a belief that something outside of them will complete them, and that these things bring up patterns they don't understand are there. For instance, if someone says, I'm trying to do it the right way, I know right away that in their childhood, they have a belief that in if they did it wrong, something happens to them. Their dad yells at them, mm-hmm. right? So they're really preventing trauma from happening again, right? So the belief is, if something happens, I'll be happy. And I want to I'd love to show you with proof that that belief is actually an avoidance of trauma, which is us trying to stay in an incomplete state, right? And so if you say, what's a thing that you're hoping happens in the future? Is there a thing that, or what's a thing that feels stuck in you, or a feeling of, if you want to do this?
Oh yeah, right? No, this is good. Just, what's I'm, thing that I'm feels, not good at, like, what's the thing that feels,
that feels, or what that you're working through right now? What's the thing that's just in your life or your body that is hard to let go of, whatever?
Yeah, like, okay. I'm thinking of maybe moving to Costa Rica, and I'm not kind of sure about that and the reason to leave. Mm. I don't know if I'm really working through that. There's another thing that's coming up in one of my businesses, just around trust, where I feel like there's a pattern of not feeling trusted, you know, like,
you don't, like, feel trusted.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I want to first of all point out, this is a very specific to you pattern, right? In other words, it's not like it's a given that every human being wants to feel trusted, right?
Okay.
That we all have different things, right? I like to feel seen. I have a big pattern of not feeling understood or seen, but I've never thought to myself, I wish people would trust me, right? So mm-hmm. I'm saying that just to point out that this is your unique thing. I'm not saying other people don't have it, but I'm just saying one of the things that we believe is the thing that we have in our body is a universal thing. So we just see it as a highest truth. Like, and that makes suddenly your goal for everyone to trust you, versus you to look at where that comes from, why that's there, right? Why do we need, is it, first of all, can we make it okay that you feel people don't trust you?
Can we make it okay? I guess you can always make things okay.
Yeah. Okay. So would you say that because you don't feel people can trust you, that you, if I asked the like inner child in you, does he feel, what would he say? Unseen, unloved, judged, avoided? You get what I'm asking?
Yeah, I'd say judged.
Judged. Okay. So check this out. I want you to say this. Take a deep breath in. And the you that's sitting here now is going to be there for the energy in your body that feels judged. Okay. So there's an energy in your body that feels judged. And the old pattern tried to fix that externally. The new pattern is going to let yourself feel judged. In fact, what I want you to do is take a deep breath and say to the literal pain energy in your body, you are allowed to feel judged in my body.
You are allowed to feel judged in my body.
Yeah. Take a deep breath in. And let that, realize that it feels judged, and it's used to you fixing that. And instead you're being present for it. You're bringing God in this moment. You're getting the help of the now. You have me here, and I'm in service to that little kid you that's so feeling judged and feels that it's not okay that he feels judged. I'm more about that. I want him to know you get to feel judged here. You feel totally judged, and I hear you. I understand you. You know, that's, you have a right to feel judged. We don't have to fix it and get someone to stop judging us. Instead, he's asking for you to be there for him. And let him, yeah. What are you feeling right now?
Calm, relaxed.
Right. Now, when you feel not trusted this second by outside sources, what do you feel?
If I imagine myself not being trusted by outside sources, whatever, in this moment.
Whatever had been triggering that recently, if you think about that now, that exact same thing, does it have as much of a hold on you?
No.
No, because the part of you that feels judged needs to be seen by you, and our unconscious belief is it's by them. So imagine every time this little you inside reaches up to you and says, I feel judged, instead of you going, I hear you, buddy, you turn to the people outside of you and go, I need them to see me. So he feels avoided over and over and over
again. So instead of saying, like, trying to convince them, like, it's not true, trying to justify my actions, it's just saying, like, hey, it's okay right. to feel this way.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Because we live in a time where everyone's just going to have a fuckload of crazy opinions. And getting everyone on board with your blueprint is really hard and unnecessary, right? Because we don't get to the real issue. We get to the pattern is keeping something floating, but not the real fear, which is that it's not okay to feel judged. And if you become a present moment, weirdly, you can transcend that, because I promise you, this comes from something before the current issue. This
comes probably, yeah, it has to be, of course.
When's a time in your childhood that you felt that, that would, if I ask it right now, when is like a moment in the in your childhood where you felt massively judged or not trusted? And almost ask the wound, ask the pain in the body. It's like you're going through your soul with a flashlight right now.
I feel it.
You know, that's good, because this is an area we're used to avoiding, right? So this is a place that has been unseen.
Yeah, I'm really gonna have to sit with this. Like there's things that are coming up, but they're not the root. It's like those were okay. also repeats of like things that happened earlier. Like there's
Do you want to tell me what's coming up? What, because it's coming up for a reason. It might not be the root.
Well, like the one that just came up was once, this is so funny, I got caught stealing fishing lures at Canadian Tire.
Okay.
And my mom was there, dropped me off. I was going to run to grab something. I threw a few in my pocket. I got caught. They called the cops. She had to come in and like, and I felt like I just betrayed her and like she couldn't trust me. You know, and that's where this feeling. But in that instance, I did actually do something wrong. It was so stupid. I didn't even fish, barely. I don't know why I wanted it, because I wanted to have an impressive tackle box. What does that say about myself? Like I was trying to be like cool or impress people or be seen. Huh.
Well, you're, hold on a second.
Interesting.
I want to show you something you're doing. I want to show you something here. So that you're doing great. And the part of you that's trying to figure out is actually blocking you from feeling it.
Okay.
Right? So imagine this. Imagine you got to go pee. And right before you go to the bathroom, before you pee, you need to know why there's pee in there. What did I drink last night? And you're using that to not just pee.
Okay.
Right? So imagine right now, it just needs you to sit in it, right? So tell me about, so you got caught stealing. And tell me what the inner you felt, not how you reacted or what you did with it, but what did it feel like? Did you feel shamed? Did you feel...
Shame, yeah, for sure, shame. I was afraid, not afraid of my mother, but like afraid to let her down. Afraid. Like I wasn't afraid of getting in trouble.
Here, we're getting somewhere. What happens if you let mom down?
Oh, she's disappointed, she's hurt.
Yeah, and that hurts you.
Uh-huh.
So check this out, we gotta prevent mom from being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, okay. that's mom's needs to be for her own ascension, right? All you're bringing up is mom's unseen triggers, right? So I bet that pattern shows up in other places. You are making sure nobody else is hurt and probably sacrificing.
That's exactly it, because, huh, not wanting to say no to people, saying over committing. Yes. Too many yeses, and then it creates conflicts between people and business, and that makes
it's
a lot of sense.
So good, man. I so appreciate your openness. So check this out. Imagine right now you're split between two densities. A density of your highest you that's trying to come through present moment high decisions, and another you that's scared of hurting people because that would be hurting your mom. And if you hurt your mom, you feel shame. If you hurt your mom, you feel unloved. If you hurt your mom's hurting, right? So it could separate that bond you have with her. So imagine the battle right now is between people that you don't want to hurt, which, by the way, would mean you have people in your life that you're capable of hurting, which means you have people in your life who are not in their own selves that can't, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That people in your life who are, you've created, to keep that egoic story alive, you have to bring people to your into your life who are codependent on you versus bringing people in your life who feel whole in themselves. That you're in this vibration of being scared to hurt people. So to not lose that egoic story, you actually find an attraction or an excitement about people that you can keep floating so that you can not, that you can fix your story with your mom. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You bring people that you date into your life, are they people that you're scared you'll hurt?
Mm-hmm. So what's the remedy?
Well, first of all, take a deep breath in, and this is going to be a hard thing to say, but it's going to help. And there's a spiritual thing, but I'm going to have you say something to the energy. Take a deep breath in, close your eyes, and say to the energy, it's okay if mom is hurt. In fact, you can say it out loud, too.
It's okay if mom is hurt.
Yeah. See that holding on energy that finally can let go for a second? We don't have to keep mom's feelings inside. She can cry. She can be hurt for a second. She can ascend. She can evolve.
Okay.
What do you feel right now?
Yeah, I feel you're definitely releasing. Like, yeah. A few more of those. I might be purging on the computer here. So, yeah.
So that's the unconscious pattern. Keeping everything together, keeping people together, keeping, right, this stuff together. And like, there's like that, you're literally in between your own inner hot air balloon ascending and not leaving the mom world of, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to unpack there. Wow.
Yeah. And notice just from that it's unpacking itself.
It's unpacking itself, yeah.
Right? So here's a couple solutions. One, understand that sometimes your highest will trigger other people, but that's their pattern. So don't take their ability away from them to ascend. Don't take their ability to go into their own cocoon and become a butterfly. You might be keeping them happy caterpillars and not letting them ascend by not letting them get hurt. Now, don't actively hurt someone, but don't prevent your own ascension in order to keep someone egoically happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So your battle right now is the in-between of you not letting mom get hurt and you ascending, because what you're trying to become will totally release mom's ability to have the same connection with you the same way when you were a kid. Like, for you to become what you are, you have to go past your mom's belief system of what you can do, of what's possible, of what she can do. There's going to be a release for her, but there's a release for her. Hurting is also a release, right? So the energy in you, so we want to bring people in also to your life who you can't hurt because they're in their own power, their own realm. And you also need to make it okay if it's your highest calling. That's just part of it. It's not your hurting.
So what do you have to say towards, like, so in the example I gave you of the fishing lure example, like I did something, so I knew I was in the wrong. But in this situation, I don't feel like there's any proof or evidence of being untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe they just have a lot of like guards up, but you know, it feels like I'm can be at times walking on eggshell. It's not often, but there's a few things that I was like, okay, wait, like, is there an issue here? And then like, when I think about not being trusted, it triggers this, like, how can someone not trust me? I'm a good person. Like, you know, like it's so important to be like authentic and transparent and, you know, like very sort of like, you know, just like good all around. Like that's sort of like who I am. And so when people think otherwise, it really triggers me. It's like, oh, I gotta show them how good of a person I am, because this is not true. But you're saying in those situations, there's a part of me that just needs to be acknowledged rather than trying to
Well, those people fix that don't trust you, those people that you feel don't see you, I would say see who you truly are too, right?
Mm-hmm.
did you have a parent that also didn't quite see who you truly were? You'd be like motivated and want a parent to see how badass you were, and they maybe would be like, whatever, or, you know, like give you an energy that's like, that's great, but do X, Y, Z, and I don't really see your soul. I see, you know, get what I'm saying? Like,
I guess there could be times where, you know, they didn't really agree with what I wanted to do. It was like, you need to be an accountant. And I was like, fuck that. I'm going to do what I want. And
don't belittle that. There's a you that wanted to be, that had callings that are magic. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine Michael Jackson feeling his calling to be a musician and his dad wanting him to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know? Like how much would that kill his soul? You know, we wouldn't have had Michael Jackson, right? So what, there's a you that's calling and your dad was overriding it and not hearing it. And it might've felt like a little bit, but a little bit is totally a lot. And mm-hmm. It sucks. Would you say that your dad saying being an accountant or anything in that energy has a similar feeling at all when you reacted to that or what you felt inside to these other people that don't see you or trust you?
I say it could be similar because in a way it's like, it's funny, but it's like, dad, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dad, trust me. That's your thing. No one trusts me. They don't trust me. Dad, trust me. Well, because if dad doesn't trust you, what else? You don't feel like he loves you. You don't feel like he cares. You're literally split between your highest calling and your dad's affection, protection, feeding you and house, right?
Like, let me get it straight though. They were always supportive once I did it, but they definitely questioned along the way. It was like,
yeah,
you know, you're going to regret this. You're making a big mistake. You know, you should do this or that. Wait,
did they, when you really hit and proved it, was there a big, long, I'm sorry, I trust you from now on? Or was it like, oh yeah, good job, yeah. And you're like, no.
I don't think there was a big sorry, but I think they started trusting me from now on inadvertently. It was like, yeah, okay, you know what you're doing. We'll listen to you now, you know.
But there were probably more than one instance where they didn't trust you.
No, but they'll still tell me like, but anyways, yeah, there's still a little bit of both, you know, like.
Tell me about the biggest core memory of a time you felt something exciting and then one of them or both of them didn't trust you. Like if there's one that comes up that you can remember, it doesn't matter how big it is, but the biggest one.
I don't think it's so much trust. I think it's more like fear and security. They come from a different age and the whole entrepreneur thing. They're more like, hey, work, make money, have security, you know, get your pension type things. And I'm just like, that scares me. You know,
I got
like,
something for you right now. Here's what you are doing right now. You're in the empathetic understanding of why they did it, mm-hmm. which is great. That's true. We forgive them. We understand it. But you're using it to avoid what you felt. And when you're in a God frequency, both exist. There's a wounded kid that feels unseen and a dad who's doing the very best he can, which we forgive. And what's hidden is the wounded kid that feels unseen. And that's who I'm here for right now.
Okay. Right?
I get that your dad meant he meant well, and we love your dad and we forgive him. And there's no, how dare you? There's nothing mm-hmm. but love. He comes from that frequency. But if we take a second of you getting excited and saying to dad a thing that calls to you and him saying something that implies he doesn't trust your judgment, what do you feel in that 1 second before you even react? What does that feel like to you?
Yeah, I guess like you don't trust me or you don't know what you're talking about or like.
What's that feel like? Does it feel unseen? Does it feel judged? Does it feel abandoned?
I'd say, yeah, unseen, I'd say a bit judged. Not so much abandoned because I know they would still like eventually like stick by me and support me even though they disagreed. Like,
but even in that 1 second, I mean, I know for me, I can bring up, mom, I'm going to do this thing. I can do this. Da, da, da. Well, let's see if it becomes something. It's just like,
yeah,
dream is just shot, right? Mom did the best she could. I forgive her. I love her. But I know inside me, oh, that hurts, right?
And then this other energy of I'm going to prove you wrong comes up. And then that sort of feeds that whole like
right.
other thing we were talking about earlier. Like once I get this, then I'll prove them wrong. And like once right. I'm there, I'll.
Well, you would not want to prove them wrong if you weren't heavily wounded. Right? You would need to prove them wrong to fix the wound. So there was a wound there. Do you get what I'm saying? There was a hurt kid that's vision felt, I don't care. Why don't we forgive your parents? Like, what did that kid feel before he proved them wrong? Before he literally got a drive to fucking make it happen to prove them wrong? What was that 1 second that you probably don't even know about? Because it was 1 second, I'm going to prove them wrong. Mm. But 1 second, shamed, judged, you know, because that's what we want to be with. He's under there. Mm-hmm. He's under that prove them wrong motivation.
Yeah. Judged.
Judged. Okay, take a deep breath in. And again, say to that pattern, you're allowed to feel judged in my body.
To feel judged in my body.
Yeah, feel that. Let him be with you. Don't go prove to anyone. Don't search for dad's love for a second. You know, you are taking over in this moment as the parent. You need a high conscious 2020 you to be there for that inner child more than the 1987 father. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What's that feel like for you?
Yeah, it feels good. Feels good. Feels like some work I'm going to be working on this week for sure.
Yeah. So what comes up for me with you is you have a brilliant intellect and you understand things really, really well. You have an amazing ability to feel, but you also have a brilliant intellect that has partially been developed out of proving something, right? Mm. And we're going to go past it because if we could just identify that that's also a pattern, right? While it's a pattern that serves us and is badass and does a lot of stuff, you might be moving to a consciousness that's a little bit past it. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're shedding something. I'll give you mine. I'll tell you what mine is. So, you know, I always felt like my mom didn't quite see me. And there was a me that would fill theaters and do Comedy Central specials literally with the drive of like, now mom will see and say she's proud of me and make me legit. Well, if my mom had this cynicism about me, guess what type of women I used to date? Not all, but sometimes, who I would be really attracted to. The most eye-rolling, doubtful woman. Right? Like the most, okay. The most, if she also had a dry sense of humor and didn't really think that I was good at what I do, then I could date her and prove to my mom through her that I'm legit. Mm. Right? Versus just finding a woman that actually likes me.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, this woman I can spend all of my life proving to. So even up until recently, there's someone very close in my life who's amazing and wonderful, but has also had a pattern in my body that I felt, and no part of me saying she did anything, I just felt unseen around her. I felt like not legitimate. And almost unconsciously believed until very recently that my beliefs about myself are not legit until she sees it. And recently I just broke that off, that need to be seen, and just sent her so much love. And we're just both a bunch of patterns. She and I are very close and wonderful, but at the same time, to learn to be okay with myself without needing to be seen, without that proof, right, is suddenly making the I'm going to prove my legitimacy to you pattern falling off. I actually need a cynical person in my life to keep it alive. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. With you, you've developed the shit out of the prove them wrong pattern, which was your way of covering up a core wound that felt judged, unloved, unseen, right? Super. And if that pattern can just be held and the desire to prove them wrong is not met by you doing anything, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but yeah.
Then it'll fall off.
So when I feel it in the future, in the moment, is to just acknowledge the feeling rather than try to justify why they shouldn't.
Right. So imagine there's two types of feelings. There's the hold on, drive, unconscious feeling of proving them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is what the mind goes to. It's like, I'm going to prove this person wrong.
Right. So that's one feeling. And if you feel that desire to prove them wrong, but don't do anything, and it's like, you're not giving it fuel. So then it falls off and then you feel the thing. And it hurts more, but it's almost out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like nausea. It's like right at the surface. It's here. You can, and you're now identified as the space that sees that core wound, so it can be cried out.
Okay, and then if they can't get over the fact they can't trust me, I probably shouldn't be working in this company in the first place. Or is there a remedy to fix that?
You won't believe how much you seeing yourself causes
changes everyone. The whole dynamic.
Yes, and in some ways, they should not trust you because you're more about them trusting you than your highest guidance.
So more worried about getting their trust than actually putting my into that energy of business.
Like people, you know, really feel safe with someone who's following their own guidance and isn't codependent on their seeing them, right?
Interesting.
Right? Interesting. So like, if I'm trying to get someone I'm dating to see me repeatedly, I'm screaming, I don't see me, right? So they have a right to be like, who is this asshole? Like,
right. That like, makes total sense, yeah.
Right, I'm screaming, I'm not enough without your seeing me. So you shouldn't trust me because I don't follow my own guidance system anyway. Nothing's legit till you say good job.
Right, okay. Got it.
You know what I'm saying? So imagine what's trying to happen is for you to trust you no matter what anyone else does.
Okay. Love it.
Imagine how would you move if you didn't need anyone to trust you?
Right. Yeah. Love it. So good.
How do you like this? I don't know.
I feel good. Yeah. No, it's great. I hope people listening are enjoying this one-on-one session, diving into my brain and heart, but I hope it's valuable for those listening. But it certainly was valuable for me. Definitely a lot more work to do around this, but to continue, you know, just letting that go. And I guess finding other memories of that and going into that feeling and allowing it to sort of go, right?
Well, here's the big thing that we just did. I want you to picture that the pattern was like packed, whatever, adobe or like, you know, a mountain right here that you was just didn't know was there. And I just took it with you and we put a flashlight on it and I just took a pick and just went ting once.
Now we're going to just tink the hell out of it.
Because now you'll see it.
Okay.
And you can't unsee it. So the pattern that says, I can't function until someone trusts me is a little bit faulty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And once you identify something, a speaker I love named Bashar says, a pattern is something that happens over and over and over again until you, or an addiction and a habit is something that happens over and over and over again until you see it. Once you see it, it becomes a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice this lie is I'm not functional until someone trusts me,
mm-hmm.
right? Then your job is to stop feeding that belief by trying to get people to trust you and starting the process of trusting yourself. And all kinds of trauma that was supported by you chasing other people to trust you will suddenly fall out of you because it's not being fed.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was incredible. And thank you guys for listening through that. I hope it was interesting and informative and you got something out of it. And I know you got to go because we had a short time window here. So just to wrap up, tell us a bit about your book, where people can find you, how they can get in contact.
So I have a website, kylecease.com, evolvingoutloud.com. I'm doing a lot of one-on-ones right now and doing this amazing thing we have called the Absolutely Everything Pass, which is a very small monthly fee with hours and hours of content. Monday night is a workshop that I do my team does too. Tuesday night's a workshop. Wednesday night, I do a live talk and answer questions. There's this incredible community of high vibration people that take it. you know, we add spontaneous, join it. It's you can cancel any time, but I promise you, this will pay for itself over and over and over and over and over again. And it's so affordable. It's $29 a month. Cancel anytime, but it's like, I think you can even get a free trial. So cool.
Check it out, guys. You will not be disappointed. Kyle's like, you saw him working. And the thing I love about him, he's always, you know, learning, growing, sharing, totally open and vulnerable. It is who he is. And yeah, definitely. So kalsies.com. And any new books coming out, check out his book, The Illusion of Money. Great book.
Illusion of Money is out. I took quite a bit, you know, we looked this year. I took a lot of this year off to do a lot of my own inner work. And we just looked in our past email archives and found there's 166 podcast requests. So I'm going to start doing them and be all over the place again and do this again. But yeah, I took a year off from even writing the next book. We had, you know, there's stuff we want to do, but I needed to find a new level of myself. So this is, yeah.
Did you do a dark retreat this year too? Was that?
Yeah,
was that
I did it.
That was you. Shit, we didn't even get to talk about that. Okay, next podcast, I want to talk just about that because I remember that blew my mind sharing some of that. Yeah, okay. We got some more stuff to talk about in the future.
Yeah. Cool. You know, yeah. 10 days in pitch black darkness in total
crazy
silence, and it brought up everything. It was amazing. It was wonderful. Yeah.
All right. We'll get into that in a future date. I want to really pick your brain on that. But anyways, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I know you got to go. Guys, check out Kyle.
I want to just 1 second commend you for doing inner work in front of your audience. Uh-huh. Like to do the inner work and leave the, I got to be the host role and go into your vulnerability is hard. And that you did heroic work. I guarantee you people will get so much out of that. So.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm an open book. Anyone who's my friend knows that I'm wide open. So yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you for challenging me to sort of go into that space. I appreciate you, man.
Love
okay, brother. Great work. We'll be in touch for sure. And yeah, we'll talk soon, man. Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Check out Kyle's stuff. And I love you guys and keep doing the work. Peace. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks, brother.